Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, November 15th. And if you're listening live, it means it's 10 o'clock a.m.
Get up.
Pacific.
Wake
yeah,
up,
what
people.
What are you still doing, right? We're just now waking up. People on the East Coast are like, oh, I'm taking my afternoon nap.
Yeah, right?
You know?
A siesta.
So it's a morning show only if you live here. If
That's
you live
right.
somewhere else, it's not so morning.
But it's,
for
you know what I always say? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's so I could drink whenever I want.
I see. Okay, that's a good
it's
reason.
It's actually a country song.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That's
a great
cool.
one. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yesterday we had some interesting music on the show.
Totally into
right?
those guys.
You like that?
Yeah, like I feel like that one guy over here, it was too Americana. It was the Show Ponies, which is a band, and it's very sort of Americana folk, kind of rock country
right.
mix.
Yes.
And the guy sitting next to me was too cool. I couldn't
yeah,
get. I was trying to make him like me, but I don't think he did.
No, it's not you. It's not you.
He's just like
he's
that.
He's just a very reserved kind
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like,
I don't think he smiled the whole time he
but
was here.
But it was great. He's
right?
like a cat and I'm a dog. And I was like, play with me, play with me, play with me.
I know,
he's like,
trying to get his attention,
yeah,
right? He's probably very popular with women then.
He is, because it makes you want to think you can be the one that he'll be like open for, you know?
Right.
God.
But I don't know. I mean, sometimes
sexy
I,
ginger.
Yeah.
Sexy ass ginger. But both of them were sexy and cool and their music was so good.
Right.
I loved it.
It's a different kind of music. I mean, it would take an acquired taste for me.
Yeah,
but
it's a very born and bred like American music.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
man.
But it's fun music.
Ugh,
you know?
Get up and dance.
With
I mean, my dream
it
would be to have like a shot and a beer at a dive bar and dance for like that's
yeah,
my dream.
Like that,
so
right.
that's my kind of guy. And he would not smile or I couldn't make him laugh. And as a stand up, I'm thinking you were the worst person in the world.
Yeah,
get
right?
out, get out of your career.
A bad audience.
Sexy.
Ginger. Oh, you're talking that about yourself?
Yeah, because I was trying to make him laugh, thinking here we go.
Yeah.
He doesn't think I can, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Well,
you like to be liked, and that's a good thing.
I'm like a puppy
know?
Dog. I'm like
yeah.
a Labrador retriever.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so the thing is that you have to accept the fact that you're defining yourself by how people react to you.
This is true.
And
I think
that's
true.
Good.
I think what I need to be is more of a poodle. Like another yeah. type of dog that is like, oh, well, fuck off then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? There's
yeah.
got to be a little more like puggish in me. Maybe I'll do pug instead. Because the Labradors just get walked on. You know what I mean?
I know.
Give me the ball. So,
at,
anywho.
At any rate, but you would probably be happy to be the sexiest man alive.
Is that The Rock?
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock
this guy is running for president. I know he said we wouldn't talk politics anymore, but I think you and I both agree.
I
the
think
Rock
would, be
would save America.
Right?
And to be not joking, all Rambo. Aside, like Michael Moore went on today and said someone like Kanye 2020, as kind of a joke, but to be honest, the Democrats need a superstar.
Yeah.
We need a celebrity now. So we realized that we didn't have one. So I don't mind The Rock.
There you go.
I
right?
follow that guy on Instagram. He is kind with puppy dogs, with people who like wait in line to meet with him, the fans. He's great with moms.
Right.
He's like the cutest teddy bear.
So he's God's gift to the world, pretty much.
I don't find him attractive, to be super duper
really?
Honest. He's a little too much like too big.
Too muscular for
just
you.
Just like all over. Like his
right.
head's big.
Yeah, he's
like everything's 250 big.
Pounds.
He's just
know?
A large individual. But
yeah.
I find him like a heart of gold, man.
Mm. And that's what they're saying, you know? Sweet, smart, and sculpted.
You know what has? You know what has? That's right. ISIS comes up to him and he says something, and he just raises the Rock's eyebrow.
Yeah, like Rambo. You
and
know?
All of a sudden, they're like, "We're so sorry."
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
how he did that in the ring.
Yeah,
the Rock.
Put their tail between their legs
yes.
and walk away. Yeah.
But I guess he will be. He doesn't like to be known as the Rock anymore.
Right.
Which I think is silly.
Because that was his wrestling name.
Yeah.
Right.
A Samoan tradition. I mean, he was born with from famous wrestlers. They're all 250 pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huge Samoan yeah. family background in wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, but that's the thing. I mean, if you work out and you stay in shape and stuff, then, you know, all that size become muscle. Become
yeah,
muscle.
It's still too big. It's sort of like a whale. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to see it. It's so big. I'm so large, it's almost intimidating. But I'm like, he seems like a genuinely nice dude.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
So you go more for smaller men.
I like a compact cowboy.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. You're not going to lie. That's a good thing.
I'm more of like, minus the T-Rex arms, like a Matthew McConaughey, Matt Damon-y kind of guy.
Okay.
I married Ben Affleck, though, a tall, skinny, wonderful, like model, preppy right. dude. Yeah. But yeah, I don't like him that big. That's too big.
Yeah.
All the way around,
that's
ladies.
That's true. Well, some women prefer that. But I can see what you mean. You know, I mean, he's like 6'5". I mean, that's pretty tall.
And I dated someone in college 6'7".
Okay, really?
For 4 years. I'm 5'2.5".
Well.
And we look like a semicolon.
Right.
You know? I mean, it looked absolutely ridiculous.
And doesn't it suck when he always just sees the top of your head? You know what I'm saying?
I actually have a cute head, so I was fine. No, I'm kidding.
The top
it was uncomfortable, except, you know what was more uncomfortable? I got used to it really fast, but he, everywhere we went, people were whispering.
People would just look.
I've never felt
really?
Like he was like, this happened, and everyone's like, whoa, how tall are you? About 90% of his day was spent telling people tall he was.
My God.
So I just told people he was on the basketball team
right.
at Michigan, and we just moved on. But, you know, it's interesting how it's like openly just, oh, my God. You know, but he had to hold his head up even higher.
Yeah. And that's interesting, though, because did you say he's Samoan?
No. Oh, no, The Rock is not my.
What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
The Rock. Okay.
They make him big.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But
Samoans are generally much larger.
Yeah.
Genetically, like, yeah, their bodies are.
Because I was going to say that Americans in general are taller, I think, than other people in the world. You know, somehow it seems like it.
Like the growth spurt. Yeah.
Right.
Like, usually, if an American goes to Asia, usually they're one of the tallest people around. It's
right.
like a very. Yeah. So it depends on the food, the culture. It depends on a lot
probably,
of different things.
Yeah.
Genetics.
Genetics. Absolutely. Well, congratulations to him then.
The
we're
Rock. So we're already calling him the
Rock.
Best.
Is.
I wonder if his Secret Service name would just be The Rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just
I
to
know.
Bring it all back yeah. is a full circle.
I don't know, but the thing is that it's funny to see he's come such a long way from wrestling.
Yeah,
you know,
really,
because it's such a phony thing, you know, that's going on. But he emerged as a star. I mean, look at at Hulk Hogan, for example.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's
and that guy went down the
toilet. Caricature, you know, of himself.
Really,
you know?
Get the headband off, the racism out of your
exactly.
mouth.
You're yeah. not 16 anymore.
That guy was lame. I gotta say, The Rock. What's so interesting is he went from like he did the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, right? So like big muscle man to entertainer, going to politics, which is kind of interesting, but he's incredibly charming. There's something about him that women want to hang out with him, men want to hang out with him, you know, transgendered people I think would want to hang out with him. So it's like there's no one who dislikes The Rock.
Yeah.
If you do, tweet me, because I'm interested to hear your reasoning.
Yeah, like
for
why
disliking
would you not
the
like
damn
him?
Dwayne Johnson. That man's a hero. Straight up hero. So anyway, and he spends his time waking up 4 a.m. He goes to the gym, and there's people waiting in line for autographs. He gives them every day. He spends time,
yeah.
goes back to the gym. I mean, that's the definition of working hard.
Yeah.
He came from nothing.
Wow.
And he said these hands built everything, and they're big hands.
Yeah. Now, was he born here?
I don't know the answer, and I don't want to give out the wrong info, but
right.
I know he comes from a family of wrestlers, but I don't know if he was born here.
Yeah. Okay, we could look it up on Google, but we really don't care, right?
Well, he has to be born here if he's going to run for president.
Oh, okay. That's right. You were concerned with that.
Yeah.
So he probably will. I mean, if Arnold ran
I don't think Arnold can. Yeah. Oh, for president. Yeah, yeah.
For governor,
yeah, yeah. I mean, if Arnold can win,
yeah.
come on.
That's what I mean, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, would I call him the sexiest man, though? Is it America or alive? Do we know? Sexiest man alive, or is it sexiest man?
Oh, alive, I think.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
Which is everyone alive? Okay.
Yeah, sexiest man alive.
Wow.
For 2016.
Uh-huh.
Go figure.
I mean.
Well, I'm happy for him.
Sure.
I mean, it's really cool, you know?
I mean, Bradley Cooper.
It's nice to be desired, you know?
Bradley Cooper, Ryan Gosling. I'm sure they've already been picked. John Hamm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wonder how old he is. Do you know how old The Rock is?
He sort of defies. I think he's like 150. He's like
probably,
a turtle.
Right?
The man just doesn't stop. I don't know. I think he's like 40?
No, he's got to be more than that.
Yeah?
He's got to be closer to 50, I think.
Really?
Yeah,
he's got great teeth. Great teeth.
That's true. I don't know if they're real, but they're very white.
I don't think a lot of it. I think, yeah, wrestling is very sort of phony. But he kind of transcended wrestling to get you to. It's hard to transcend wrestling because it's all so yeah. much caricature.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah. He did a nice job. I don't get wrestling. People who love wrestling, I think it's great. Yeah. I don't get it.
I know. 5 minutes is okay.
Yeah.
And then you just go, come on, let's move on.
I don't
on
get
here.
It. Yeah. I really don't. And it's funny because it's so fake. And I'm like, I picture them like working out, rehearsing together. It's very weird.
Yeah.
But a lot of people love it.
Yeah,
it's
that's
awesome.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, if we took just a second, we would know where he was born. We would know how old he is.
You don't think I'm trying to and do that right now?
I don't know. But I mean, the thing is I think you got
a computer.
Yeah. No, I know. But I'm looking at the article and there's no age. They don't mention his age. Just his height and his weight.
You know what? If a woman was sexiest alive, totally. The first totally thing. Would give the even rate, though right? she's over 12, she's still sexy.
Good.
Fucking A. The Rock. All right.
Well, we got to watch out for the F-bombs because we have a guest that would probably want to take a clip from this. So you'll have to clip out the first 10 minutes.
I will clip out the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, for when you want to do the interview because we'll keep the interview clean. But I did want to just bring this up. And
oh, he's born in California.
In California?
Yeah, way to go.
Very cool.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, but I do want to bring this up because I think this is mind blowing to me. And again, we're going to talk about cool things and everything, but we have to put this in. So they did a research on why some people make so much noise during sex.
That is not what I thought you were going to talk about. And what is the reason?
Okay, so let me tell you what women say, okay?
Oh, just women or men?
Women.
Oh, okay. You
women,
have to say that.
Okay. No, but the headline didn't say that.
I see.
Okay, but in the article, they asked 71 sexually active heterosexual women between the ages of 18 and 48 more details about vocalization during sex.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 66% said they moan to speed up their partners.
I mean, I'm not going to doubt that. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah. And I also think it's to make it sexier and to sound, but I mean...
87% stated they vocalized during sex to boost his self-esteem.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of sound effect.
That's
I'm not
a
gonna,
lot.
It's like a Foley artist. You're wow. like, I'm on a horse.
Yeah.
You know, you
so all the guys who think you're like, you know.
Screaming.
Like, yeah, like a bull in bed, you know. Maybe that's not what's going on.
Women are so much more advanced than you think. We're way over your head, dude. I mean, if you really thought that you were making her do that with your... Mm-mm.
Right.
So no, just know it's a lot of women trying to make you feel better about yourself.
Right. Yeah. There you go, you know.
And we've constantly... been a gender that's
crushed
tried to make,
us completely
yeah.
now.
Well, too bad. You're going to still have sex.
I mean, for ages, we thought it was us.
If you did, that was terribly sad. Yeah. There's nothing in this world other than like funnel cake at an amusement park that will make me make those noises, other than like specific intimate moments. But I'm saying no one goes on for 10 minutes like an orangutan.
That's true.
We're trying to make you feel good. This is, we spent our whole, you know, history trying to make y'all feel better.
Yeah.
Take it back, ladies.
Yeah. Maybe that's why in the movies they're like so loud and stuff, you know, because it's like they say they're not like that in real life. But
I mean, it's very,
it's
I
just
mean,
like, yeah, let's just make
let's
a lot of
this.
Noise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
it's like a sporting event where they go, charge! You know, you have to just, you know, where they go, dun-dun-dun-dun, you all have to say something.
Yeah.
Make some noise.
Well, that crushes a lot of men today. Today.
Too bad.
And, yeah, so don't look in the news there. Now, finally, just because we get to our guest, I wanted to change the topic a little bit, and this is about teen depression.
Okay.
And there's a lot of headlines about it, and especially among teen girls.
Yes.
So this is definitely something that has to be looked at, and the same, especially in young people, 12 to 18, and many of them don't get screened.
Right.
So what happens is you have all these like virtually suicidal adolescents, and they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you've experienced depression, right?
Oh, yeah. My family has a lot of it. Yeah. And I think mental health has suddenly become cool to talk about in the past five years.
At last,
right? Because you and I know so much about this. But it's now only trickling down to the kids, maybe last 2 years.
Right.
So, and especially girls on cyber being cyber bullied and stuff like that. Now it's finally kind of being concentrated, and now it's going to hopefully be as sort of popular, quote unquote, as autism, so we can get more information about it.
Yeah.
But it's an epidemic. I mean,
it
if this had been cool to talk about, and I mean cool meaning it's in the pop culture, it's in TV and magazines, late night talk show, people are talking about it, right?
Yeah.
If that had happened when, let's say, my family members had gone through school, man, what a better time we would have had, because
that's true, right?
There was was nowhere to go. There was nothing to tell. Who do you go to?
Yeah,
the nurse?
You don't even know what's wrong with you. You know,
yeah,
you just
it's
like
terrible.
Life
it's
seems
just
terrible.
Terrible.
You know?
And I think it's hard to imagine a kid or teenager with depression, but now it's becoming so much. The veil's being lifted a bit.
Right. And they're saying there's a lot of bullying going
just
on.
Terrible
and,
bullying.
And probably, you know, a lot of expectations from girls and stuff to look a certain way and behave in a certain way.
I can't imagine being a girl growing up in social media. I
right?
cannot be a 12-year-old growing up in social media. I can't even flippin' imagine.
Wow.
The images that I had to go through is 10 million times less than what they're flashed every single day.
Right.
That's incredible.
That's way too much.
And it's very hard. And to be honest, it's still a very patriarchal society. And they said not to discuss Trump, but with Trump, there has been sort of like this victimization of like little girls that wanted Hillary. And now this sort of crushing feeling of, so
yeah. They've been left out.
Yeah, and I think they're confused. Forgotten. And it's a confusing time, but it's more confusing with all this. Do you know what I'm saying? It's tough.
It is.
The and more we talk about, the better, Sam, I think.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think the people that do experience depression, and sometimes if you don't really know what it is, but you just feel that everything seems terrible. I think people, when they're in depression, they know they are.
Yeah. But sometimes
they don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's like when the world gets so small in you and you just don't want to leave your very bed. That's how I feel. It's, everything becomes very small.
Yeah. You
and
know,
dark.
Yeah. And it seems like it's normal to you because it's your head. It's inside your head, you know?
Yeah. I slept for 3 days straight at Michigan.
Really?
And finally someone was like, hey, maybe you should wake up. I was like, what?
That's a lot of sleep.
Yeah, but and there wasn't a lot about college depression then.
Yeah.
And now mental health, like I went to a counselor and it was like, a student that was just like, you know, trying to do some yoga. I mean, it was, you know, wasn't sort of discussed. And I'm glad it's being discussed more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So let's bring that to the forefront.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to get to our guest now. We have a fascinating guest.
Yes.
Her name is Florence Ann Romano. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Did I pronounce your name correct?
You did.
Awesome.
It sounded, you know, had that Italian flair to it.
Yeah, although I'm not Italian.
He's good with names, though. You're great with names.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because a lot of foreign names, I can sort of like, you know, when you speak more than one language, you're able to pronounce things differently, too, you know, more correctly.
That's right.
According to the language, you know. So sometimes I just read it phonetically and it comes out right.
Smart guy.
It was beautifully done. I was very appreciative.
There you go. So you'll have to frame that that phrase that I said with the Italian. Or I can do French accents as well.
I'll appreciate to hear my name in any sort of way.
There you go.
Make me sound more exotic.
So you love when people love you too. I mean, it's a natural thing, right?
Well, you know, life's too short not to feel loved, right?
Absolutely.
And,
you know,
you have to be reciprocate. You have to reciprocate it.
That's
true. You can't just think you're going to receive all this love and not be a loving person back to the world.
True.
And I think when you give, it even feels better than to receive. You know, I've realized that many, many ways, whether it's emotions or physical things.
I like receiving a lot.
Right.
I totally feel what you're saying. Well, but then I get applause on stage.
Set up a wish list on Amazon, and have your fans send you things.
Never.
Yeah, well. So, Florence, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, and I just not to ignore. The person that came with you, Emily.
Hello.
We just want to acknowledge you here.
Thank
How are you,
you
doing, Emily?
I'm doing well.
Get
Thank
closer
you.
To the mic for a second.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk to Florence about visiting LA and everything now. But Emily, you are here from Los Angeles.
Yes, I am, born and raised.
That's what you were telling me. That's pretty cool. You don't meet that many people that were born and raised in LA,
rare,
huh?
Right, little rare. Rare.
I'm a unicorn. That's what they call me.
Is that what it is? So, So, I mean, do you travel a lot? Have you been outside of L.A.?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Not as much as I wish I could. Been to China. That's the extent of my travels, abroad at least. So, went there a few times to see family. And it's dirtier than L.A., so it makes me feel good to come home to this.
Awesome. Well, Emily, nice having you here, and thank you for making it possible with Florence. Are you the publicist?
I sure am.
You're the publicist. So if anybody wants a great publicist, go to Emily.
Thank you.
Look up Emily Publicist. You'll find
it. Yeah. First one on Google.
We'll let you plug in the end. But it is about Florence today. And Florence, you're the Windy City Nanny, the voice of childcare in the new millennium. T- Tell us about that. What does that mean? Windy City, obviously, is Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. Okay.
So that's where you're from, right?
Born and raised. Lived out here in Los Angeles for a stint after college. And I realized I was very Midwest when I
really?
Came out here.
You can hear that accent. I love
yeah,
it.
I have quite a Midwest accent. So I was here for a bit and enjoyed my time, but then moved back to Chicago and then dubbed the Windy City Nanny. And that came from my 15 years of experience in childcare. I was a nanny for 15 years, if you can believe it. No one can see me, but I'm only 31.
Wow. Very young.
I am not that old. And I loved my experience so much that it led me to write a book called Nanny and Me, which helps children understand the transition of being cared for by your parents to being cared for by a nanny or a caretaker.
So this is for the children. The book
is for children. So that came out about a year and a half ago. And kind of during that moment of writing it and seeing how it was received, I thought, you know, I think there's something more to be done here on a national level about child care, because the statistic is quite staggering. You won't even believe me when I say it, but 60%, more than 60% of American families have a nanny or a caretaker taking care of their children.
Wow.
So this is not trendy. This is our culture today, and it's not going anywhere. The trend will continue in the statistic, and when I mean trend, is going to continue. And we need to be aware of that in our world and helping children through that transition, but beyond that, redefining what child care means today, what nanny means today, because it's become a dirty word.
Yeah.
Really? And the thing is that I can't imagine how you would not, appreciate what a nanny, like how important a nanny is in a child's life. I mean, they're raising your kids when you're not home.
They are an extension of the parents. I always say that a nanny is an extension of the parents' eyes, ears, and hearts. And what I'm really trying to do in my message to families out there is that you need to figure out what your values are as a family. And values is defined very differently from family to family. Mm-hmm. And you need to figure out what's important to you and how this person's going to fit into your family and be an extension of what is important to you in terms of education and fun and discipline and nutrition. This person needs to fit into your puzzle and make sure that they're a good role model for your children so that years down the road, when they are out in the world and working and functioning human beings, that they are tolerant and kind and loving and all of these things that are important for children to be.
Yeah.
And when you find that children maybe are not, the first place you're going to look is back at the parents or back at that family nucleus and what is going on there. So my message is, let's really pay attention to the people that we're allowing in our children's lives.
Mm. It's hard to, like, you hear this sounds so stupid, like waspy, but when you're like, it's hard to find someone good to be a nanny. Is that true, or is that just a statement you hear from, like, rich New Yorkers? I mean, what is, you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? You make a very good point, because nanny really has been defined by what you're seeing in the media and the nanny diaries and all things like that, where you think it's, you know, Mr. and Mrs. X, and, you know, they have nothing, they don't want anything to do with their children. It's the Upper East, you know, side of New York. And that is not what the world is like today. I mean, you go to Iowa or any of these, you know, smaller states where the parents are working because they have to or they want to. It's their choice. And in hiring a nanny, how do you find the person to fit into your life? Can you trust someone?
Right.
Can you truly,
I mean, it's
do
so
that?
Intrusive, you know,
that's
in terms
true.
Of their, the nanny cam I was going to ask next is like, I mean, would you recommend that? Would you not recommend that?
Oh, absolutely.
I would think so.
Whatever
right?
is going to bring you peace of mind in your family, because something else you have to think about, and this is something I bring up quite a bit. I grew up with a brother with autism.
Mm.
And when you have a sibling or anyone in your family, it's an elderly person, someone with special needs that cannot communicate for themselves that if something is wrong or scary or dangerous or whatever it might be, how are you going to make sure that you're checking that everything is on the up and up? Well, a nanny cam is a great way to do that. And no, you don't need to tell your nanny that you have a nanny cam.
Oh, really?
Absolutely not.
No, it's your house.
It's your house, your rules.
No, but the point is, don't you think they would behave if they had that? But the point is, you don't want them to behave just because of the camera.
No, you don't.
You want them to be a good person.
But it's almost like putting up those signs in your front yard that say caution, you're being videotaped. Yeah. Well, you would hope that people will maybe be a little bit more cognizant of that and they're not going to do anything crazy. So if you do say you're going to be tape recorded, then you know what? That's just another added extra layer of security.
Right.
Whatever
That's true.
Makes you feel good about leaving your children in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's like having a cop car, you know, driving by and then
for
everybody.
Sure. I would just put that on my lawn when I didn't have a camera.
You know, I have said the same thing.
Yeah, like you're being watched. I ain't got no money for no camera. Yeah. Whatever.
Where you said you got dogs in the backyard.
Yeah,
no
beware of
dogs.
Yeah, there's
exactly,
no dog. Yeah.
But, you know, the sign's enough.
Totally.
So, you know,
but exactly. So it's the deterrence that, absolutely. That can happen there. And like you said, it's an extra layer of security. Right. But you want someone that you can bring to your family because you're so vulnerable. I mean, you leave your family so vulnerable to someone you don't know.
And it's hard, I think, for moms and dads to like leave. It's not easy to give, you know, have them raised by a nanny. It can't be.
And being raised by a nanny, I think, also needs to be defined too, because just because you have a nanny
doesn't
or
mean
a
you're
caretaker,
raised, that's right.
Doesn't mean they're raising them. They're just another person that is adding support and love in their life. And so for families that feel like, oh, the guilt that they have, they leave their children at home and I'm the worst parent in the world. Why did I even have kids if I'm not going to, the life is full of people who are going to be influencing your children. They go to school for 8 hours a day and they've got teachers. Are there teachers raising those children? I mean, no, those are just someone else that's adding something to their life and keeping them safe for a certain amount of the day or, you know, being an influence for them. So I can understand the argument of feeling guilty about it, but that's really something parents need to look inside of themselves and realize that it's not a competition. You need to look at a nanny or a caretaker like they are an aunt or an uncle or a godparent. Mm-hmm. Someone that you would want your child to bond with and be loved by. And a nanny is not necessarily someone you don't know. That should also be, you know, recognized. It could be your mother-in-law, your mother, a grandparent.
That's true, and we don't think of them as nannies.
And there's mannies now.
I was going to say, let's talk about mannies.
Let's get into
the hottest thing around. Have you heard of this, Sam, the mannies?
No.
Oh, it's when a man is a nanny, and it's called a manny, and it's like the coolest hipster thing you could do now.
Really?
But it's also great because you have, let's say, you know, it's a different kind of male influence. There's a different side of it, and it's allowing men to be very sort of fatherly in a way. I think it's great.
But wouldn't you say it's usually family or friends that do this? I mean, it's becoming that.
One of my very good friends, his father, the grandfather of these children, is their manny.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, but look at that. That, I think, is a beautiful thing. I was raised in a household where my grandparents lived with me, so I understood that influence of having them. Mm-hmm. Just as these children growing up with their grandfather being their manny, they get to have that bond with their grandfather that is irreplaceable, absolutely valuable. And I love that. So again, it's deciding what's right for your family and the influence you want on those children. And again, that love that they're going to get in that special relationship.
It's so interesting though, because like, just like you said, nanny is a loaded word, especially for women.
Yeah.
Like when you hear nanny, you think of the Nanny Diaries and you think of Upper East Side and stuff like that. But you also think of, oh, they didn't want children. I mean, there's a lot to it. So it's like, it's interesting to not compete and to feel jealous as a woman. It's hard not to feel guilty and it's hard to say this is what's right for your family, because so many women are thinking of what every other woman is sort of thinking of their family.
Right.
But you're right, you can't compete. Life is life, you
and
know,
that's
it's messy.
Natural, though.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely natural to have that feeling, and I'm not saying you shouldn't feel that, because that is your feeling. But again, it's not necessarily about you. It's about what's right for the children.
Right.
And I hear all the time, oh my gosh, the nanny leaves and my kid cries and it breaks my heart. And
right,
I
they
go,
call her mama or something. Grandma. Yeah.
Really good.
You know, again, yes, that's a heartbreaking moment for you, but it lasts 60 seconds.
Yeah, it's over.
And then that child is happy that you're there, and the next day you leave and the kid's going to cry because you're gone. That's part of life.
That's
and you know
true.
What? For that one moment, that person that loves your child's going to get that feeling of warmth that, oh my gosh, they love me. It's
right,
that recognition
exactly.
of that. But you as the parent need to look at that child crying and think, I've done the right thing for
my
child.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Because this child is loved. So again, it's not always about how you feel.
So you need them to bond with the nanny too, right?
Absolutely. You want to encourage that relationship, just like you would encourage your children to be friends with exceptional people. You'd want them to be influenced by those good friends.
I was a nanny. I loved it.
I was a great nanny.
A lot of make-believe, but a lot of naps to watch Little Mermaid. Mommy was tired. But it was very exhausting not to be able to speak adult for the day. Did you ever feel...
Sometimes, you know what? I have seen more and more that friends of mine who have children, they do not speak baby talk to their kids.
Yeah, that's become a new thing, too.
It's
that's right.
And they really are having kind of sophisticated conversations with their children. And I'm watching the children who are actually processing
Whoa.
This.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm still doing like, oh, you're so cute. And look at the goo-goo and the gaga. I can't help myself. But, you know, sometimes I'm sure you felt this way. When you're around children all the time, you can kind of crave that adult
conversation. You do, man.
So you can understand why a parent might choose to work. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I can
there's
totally get that.
There's nothing wrong with that. One of my best girlfriends, she wants to work, has the most darling children in the world that she loves, would walk through fire for. But she also knows that for her to be the best person she can be, she has to have that.
Because it's fulfilling for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, first. Yeah, it's like put the oxygen mask on yourself. Yeah. Right. Is that right? Or do you do it on the kid?
No, you first.
Okay, good. Okay. Yes. Let's not confuse that. Woo! Never flown before. Apparently. Sorry about that. You really have to take care of, you know, fulfill yourself first. It's interesting. Yeah. And what's interesting is the woman I nannied for was at home. And it wasn't, but she worked from home, but she didn't want to have her energy. She was working from home. And for her, it was important that her energy be not with the child.
Right.
And so at first she was really guilty watching me nanny her kids.
Right.
But I'm like, no, man, this is okay. I mean, you need that energy elsewhere. But it's women feel so much guilt.
There's so much guilt. You could read a million articles about it and books about it. And my line that I say to parents all the time, and I've seen it. I've seen the guilt in the mother's eyes where they hand me their child and they just, they're fearful, they're scared, but also there's that glimmer of excitement that they get to go off and have adult conversations and do what fulfills them.
Right.
And this is the world we live in today. You can have it all. You absolutely can.
Right. I mean, you're saying don't feel guilty, right?
I mean, don't want to tell you not to feel guilty because it is absolutely natural for you to do so. And I would say if you don't feel guilty, then, you know.
You're cold.
No, you're cold. Yeah, you're cold. But, you know, so I'm not going to say no to that. But I'm saying that, again, step back from yourself. Step back from the situation and see that you're doing the right thing for your child. If you can make sure that the common denominator is always the children, that they have your best interest at heart, then you're going to make the right decision. Because sometimes you and your emotion can cloud it, just like in any situation in life.
Right, yeah. We shape the kids, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, we have to really be careful of what's going on. By the way, lower your screen, because I can't see your eyes at all.
Oh, they look so like this. Today I have no makeup on. I'm hiding behind the screen.
But look, it's not about the makeup.
I'm kidding.
You talk to someone, you want to see their eyes when you talk
look
to them.
Look at these babies.
Well, you can definitely see mine, because they're 3/4 of my face.
They are beautiful.
They're just very big.
But that's good for kids, I bet.
Oh, the kids were terrified at the time. They're like, what? Are you mad? Are you happy? I can't tell.
That's so interesting.
You know that movie, Bedtime Stories, where there's the hamster that has the really big bug eyes?
Oh, no.
Well, my sisters thought it was funny in a group text. They're like, we found a character that looks just like you and sends this big, gooey-eyed hamster to me. And I was like, all right, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
my dad said I look like Splinter the sewer rat from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But he was like in a good way because he's so smart.
Well, I'm looking right at her, and this no makeup thing. I'm not in.
Thank you.
She looks perfect.
Thank you.
So I wouldn't be concerned.
Namaste. Thank you very much. Thank you. I couldn't believe it.
But you must feel good about the way you look. If you feel okay to leave the house without makeup,
well, I go from the car to radio to back. I'm fine.
That's true. But you take pictures.
I do. And I think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think you're being a little self-deprecating.
I'm always being self. I'm a comic. What do you
that's
want?
True.
we always are.
Yeah, but I just want to make it clear for people.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, people can see what you look like anyway. But
yeah.
Definitely. So you've always been told about your eyes and all that.
Always. My mother's sitting back there and she's horrified as well by these huge eyes. But you know, my background.
Back eyes, I mean, big eyes always like are attractive.
For guys, they love that shit. Oh, yeah.
Why am I single then?
That's the question. I'll be the Yenta. Yenta will hook you up. Mama will hook you up.
Perfect.
Matchmaker.
This is a great show. There you go. Matchmaking.
Because the thing is, think about it. When you see like in cartoons or something, you know, or babies, the eyes are big and we're attracted to that. We think it's cute.
I am the baby whisperer, I'll tell you. Yeah. A baby's crying and I just get that baby right here and that baby, it's like Medusa almost.
The eyes are
going on. And then I have this deep kind of low voice.
It's kind of a sexy female operator moment happening.
Well, when Disney came out with all these big-eyed, you know, characters, I was like, I feel at home here.
Totally.
I feel like this
then the Jasmine thing, totally. Right. Belle.
But it's totally a positive thing. And you are beautiful. Oh, I don't know why you're single, but we'll
match you up. You're busy.
I'm busy, girl.
Probably very busy. Yeah. That's what it is, you know.
And probably just a touch crazy. So yeah. There you go.
That's the better, best kind.
Yeah.
We're all crazy.
And you seem like a very independent, strong person. You have a lot to offer.
Thank you.
And yeah, so I mean, maybe some people are intimidated by that.
Yeah, is it hard to also meet guys? It's a very sort of female-oriented, you know, place.
We're going to need a whole new show for how hard it is. You know, we talked about this. I mean, in Chicago, I mean, not saying that there aren't wonderful, amazing men there. There are. But my grandmother was under the impression for years that I met all these people all the time.
Yeah, where are you meeting these people?
And it's not happening. Right. I mean, it's really not. I mean, I'm going to events and I'm doing different things. But it's not that you're meeting these quality people all the time. And when you think about yourself and the things you are looking for, the older you get, the more specific you're getting, the more picky you're getting. And here's the other thing, too, that just is kind of the stinky part of it. The older I get, my pool gets smaller. Yes. The older the man gets, they can go ahead and marry that 25-year-old and be 50 years old or whatever it is.
Only if they have a lot of money. No, really, because what does a 25-year-old have to do with a 50-year-old, really? Unless he had something, he offers a lifestyle that she can't have at 25.
Sure.
I see that a lot, you know, but don't think that a man has that freedom. He does not.
Well, I appreciate that point of view.
Not 25. Yeah, no, not 25. But
then we have the Viagra Triangle. About that, where you go, and it's,
I've never heard that.
Oh, it's called the Gold Coast. Oh gosh, everyone in Chicago is so mad at me for revealing this secret
now.
So we have this in Chicago where all of these older men are just preying on these younger women.
Like a cougar situation.
Yes,
I see, but for man,
you know, and it's just it's a very interesting. Whenever anyone goes out there, they always
Viagra Circle.
No, I mean, triangle. And we've talked about it a million times. You know, there's always that attraction to the more like fertile parts of the society, you know. So it's like, you know, the young women represent babies, continuation.
Oh, it's
you
the
know,
selfish gene.
Like
it's a whole, it's a hereditary
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
But
and
she's
it
right.
Just,
it's like,
in our brain, it just makes us like horny, you know. Yeah. But in other, in nature, it's a natural thing, you know.
Right.
So that's why I just say that people have to like not apologize for who they are, you know. If a 50-year-old man wants a 25-year-old girl, or not girl, really woman. Yeah. I mean, a 25-year-old woman.
Yeah.
But and she loves him or whatever. Yeah, why not?
Well, more power to him. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. But you know, when you think about it from a general perspective, how hard it is. Dating is not
very
easy.
Hard.
And right. And going back to the dating and everything, it's. But I'm just telling you, the pool. It does get smaller as you get older.
It gets smaller. It does.
Is Chicago known as a good date? I know L.A. and New York, where I was living, were known as just awful for dating. Is Chicago known as like a good dating thing?
I would say that the dating scene, just like anywhere, can be really great if you are proactive, I guess, in the dating scene. And it's not that the eligible people aren't there. But even my mom has said to me many times, why do I feel like there are so many great single women, but not as many
amen,
great
sister. Right?
You know, and I feel that way, too, where I'll go to a party or something. And
I love the ladies.
You just kind of look around and you're like, this is what I have to deal with.
Maybe it's because you're a woman. Because from my perspective, there's always a lot of guys and no women. So I don't know what you talking about, but
what kind of guys are you talking about?
Not necessarily, but it depends, I think, where you meet them, you know.
Sure.
But I think you need to be out there, and that's the most important thing. Unless you want to deal with just apps and match.com,
believe me,
then
I've
you have to be out there to meet the people, you know.
You do.
And I understand you meet a lot of people, but probably in business situations, right?
Business,
like you mentioned.
But social as well.
Social as well.
And you know, also there's something to note about men today. Women are allowed to kind of do whatever we want, and we have these independent lives. Well, some women have given us a little bit of a bad reputation now, in that men can have their cake and eat it too, and they don't have to commit, because women aren't making them. They're not demanding that chivalry. They're not demanding that.
It's a double-edged sword in a way.
Yes, it is. And I'm not saying that's across the board. I'm just saying I've noticed that men are not as inclined to commit anymore, because they're finding that women are not making them do it. They think at 30 years old or 35 years old, they're still so young and have so much time. And we're like, hey, TikTok for us. I mean, if I didn't want children, I probably wouldn't get married for many years.
Does it? Do you want children after being around so many other children?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. People used to say it's the best birth control.
Yeah,
in the world.
That's what I. Yeah, when right? I was nannying, I'm like, this will never happen.
But for me, it was like, oh my gosh, just completely solidified the fact that I do want to be a mother one day. I mean, I used to say to my mother that I wanted to go to the hospital to get my baby, and oh, wow. I meant toy store, and
oh,
I would
wow.
go pick out my baby dolls, come home.
My sister was like that. Always wanted yes. to be a mother. Always wanted to. But she always babysat. I had no interest, zero.
But, you know,
but I was the baby.
That.
I think that's why.
You find, and I was the oldest.
Yeah,
in my
she was the oldest. Yeah,
see, and I, you know, that kind of quality of, you know, you just taking care of yeah. everybody. That just kind of maternal nature for me. It just always was something I wanted, and so the fact that I do want children of my own is, of course, top of mind to me.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know, but at least I'm in a profession. You know, being the Windy City nanny and all that, I'm around children quite a bit, so I get to have that fill.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to take a phone call real quick?
I would love.
Okay.
To.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air. Who is this?
Yeah, my name is Mike. I live in New York, and I listen to you guys online. Love the show.
Oh, thank nice.
You.
Hi, thank Mike.
You. Hi, Mike.
Are you eligible? You sound hot.
Maybe that's why he's calling
no.
you.
In fact, I was going to offer you up my kids if you really want them that bad.
There you go.
But saying that, you guys are talking about relationships. You're talking about a lot of, you know, a lot of fun things today. And I wanted to know what you thought about either dating a nanny or... all of the, you know, celebrities who are, you know, going
yeah.
after their hot nanny.
Yeah,
that
that's
a good
because
idea
that's
to hire a hot nanny yeah. or
that's Mike. That's a good call because when I hear nanny, I also think of Ben Affleck stopping his nanny. I mean,
right.
I think
and
of the hotties.
You said it's a
that's absolutely
thing.
True.
Right. I'm gonna
Tom
go,
Brady.
But I just wanted to, you know, bring that up and thank you guys for doing a great job.
Thanks, Mike.
Awesome,
we'll
man.
Talk about
and
that.
We'll talk about that right now. I mean, because Florence seems eager and already prepared.
Did you ever
answer.
Have to deal with that? Like, how did you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you, I never had to deal with it in my experience, and actually the total antithesis of that. The woman, the mother, I was taking her child for her, and she had a bunch of friends over, and they were like, oh, this is my nanny. She's introducing me, and they're like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Uh-huh. And I leave the room, and the one friend turns to her and, like, slaps her hard on the arm and goes, that's your nanny?
I know, right? Right.
You hired that to
Whoa.
Be your nanny? To
I
be your
Right.
around your husband, and she just laughed and she goes, oh, please. She doesn't want anything to do with my husband. So that made me laugh. But you know what? It is a present and real threat that I do understand. And the media sensationalizes it to the highest degree.
Right.
They talk about hot nannies. Again, redefining what nanny is. Nanny is a dirty word now because of this. You mentioned Ben Affleck. Look at Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale mm-hmm. and what that whole story that mm-hmm. just broke and how heartbreaking that was to watch. And something
and
I thought,
Tom was it Tom? Oh no, Ben Affleck was on Tom Brady's jet when the nanny was in the background on an Instagram picture. Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah, yeah.
Yes,
so yeah.
Yes. And then there's a bunch of other celebrities. The late Robin Williams. That was one of the first times we kind of heard about that. And I remember the name is escaping me. But there are many different kinds. But the truth is, it's the exception to the rule. It's not really what's going on in a majority of America. And that's what needs to be
said yeah.
for sure, because that makes people afraid of having nannies in their home. But here's how you try to fight against that. Here's how you try to protect your family from having that moment where, you know, maybe they'll cheat with my spouse. It's as simple as communication with your spouse. I
yeah.
mean, interview that nanny together. And if you turn to your husband or your wife and say, you know, listen, I'm not comfortable with this person being in the house. Instead of, you know, why do you mean it? Start screaming about it. Why don't you just be grateful and say, thanks, honey, for being honest and move on to the next person? Because that's a perfectly acceptable conversation to have. Now, yeah. you may be fine with having a hot nanny in the house and you're completely confident in your relationship and it's no problem. But I get the reason why people are afraid.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah.
you have the choice. It's
right.
up to you.
No, that's true. But I think the majority would probably go against the hot nanny, wouldn't you say?
A majority probably would go against the hot nanny,
right?
Which
beauty,
sucks if you're
so,
a beautiful nanny.
Exactly.
But
so
beauty is subjective, though.
No.
So,
well,
you know,
some is not. Some people
some
like,
empirically
like you're just pretty.
Yeah.
Like we got it.
Like, look, if you walk into a room, everybody will agree you're pretty
right.
and beautiful.
Thanks.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, so I can understand people's concern. You know,
here's
I'm
my thing.
So.
I would be okay with it. First of all, I know the look my husband gets, so I'll look at him and be like, "Oh, she's out. Cancel
right.
it." But I also think. if she's hot or pretty, it wouldn't matter if she was funny. I need someone who's going to be funny with my kid, who's going to be playful.
Right. Those are values for
that's
you, though.
What
going
that's
back
my
to
value.
What those values
yeah, okay.
are for
I
what would be saying. Important to your kids.
I need a lot of action and a lot of, like, I need a lot of make-believe and silliness, goofiness.
Right. But see, now, I am not a classically professionally trained nanny. I was a performance theater major right. in school. So it's not like I came with an MBA in child psychology. I walked in saying, like, let's do a puppet show.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, let's, you know, get creative, you know. And but I brought a different taste to what I felt was important in the children's lives. But it wasn't just me. It was what the family also wanted their children to be surrounded with. That doesn't mean I didn't pay attention to homework or school or anything.
Right,
like
but
that.
They sat you down and said, these are our values. Right. This is our ethics. This is what we want taught.
And, you know, when I was younger, it wasn't necessarily what was happening when I was a nanny. But during my experience as a nanny, I found out that if that's what was happening, it would make this process of, you know, having a nanny in the home, it's going to make it so much better, so much more seamless, so much more productive. So that's where my experience in those 15 years led me to reflect and think, how can we make this better? How can I fight against all these stereotypes I'm seeing and all of these definitions that are being, you know, taken out of context or whatever it might be? So that's really how I came to mm-hmm. believe that it had to go back to a values-based practice. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, absolutely. But the thing is this, look, men, you put something in front of them, you know, many of them will be tempted. And all I'm saying is that you're going to get a young, pretty, cute, hot, whatever you want to, however you want to describe her, okay? But you bring her into the home, you think my husband is alone there, you know, with her. I mean, there's like people fantasize about things like this, you know? There's like movies about things like this, you know? So
there
the thing
are.
Is, so I'm not saying that necessarily most people even would do this, but I can see how it would be very hard if you're attractive to get into this business.
But then there's also the New York thing
because
of like
you said
want
the stereotype.
But at the same time you want like a good look, like there's also this awful thing of like you want a very classy, well put together nanny. Like you also right. want like a kid to look up to someone that's, you know, puts themselves together well and is represented well. So it's a weird combo. Do
right.
you know what I mean?
The image.
Yeah, the image. You want
there's,
an that's
image
exactly
there.
What I meant.
There
that's right.
I mean, let's look at Mary Poppins. No one's sitting here saying Mary Poppins was hot, but Mary right. Poppins was beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Right. This was
put
a beautiful
together.
Nanny.
Yeah.
British,
no, classic.
Exactly. Still,
but you know what? Temptation is temptation. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, if you don't trust or you believe that having temptation at all in the house is just going to
be
too
much. Yeah,
that's
bad news for your relationship.
Right.
Then don't do it.
Yeah,
but even if your relationship is good and you feel like, you know what, I don't want to take the risk and have that temptation in the house, then fine. That is totally up to you. But again, going back to it, it's about the kids. The nanny's focus should be raising those children. I was around the fathers all the time, alone in the house with the fathers, and it wasn't anything.
Nothing.
It was nothing. It was...
Yeah.
It was someone I respected.
That's very good,
and
yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, because people have opportunities all the time, but they have to control themselves. And, yeah, maybe if you can't trust your husband around the nanny, then your marriage may not be...
Yeah, there's
be
something
as,
wrong with the marriage.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Well, think about Gwen Stefani and her situation, just to touch on that a minute, and going back to the children. Imagine having to explain to your kids why the nanny's fired. Now, mm-hmm. the children may love that nanny. They may have no idea what's going on. And I'm not saying tell them what happened, but
right.
you're ripping this person from their world
then.
That's
true.
Someone that they loved,
they trusted.
Sure. Now they're all of a sudden gone because of what the parents, you know, right. allowed to happen or the temptation that was allowed to happen. So again, you really have to step back and remember that it's not about you. And if you don't trust yourself, then don't do it because
right.
it's
exactly.
not worth the damage.
Exactly.
How
you know,
how do you like find a nanny?
You can use agencies, and the agencies are very reputable, but I am a firm believer in due diligence on your own. You do not just trust the nanny agency to do all of the work for you. You need to be involved.
Yeah.
They may do background checks. I'm going to do a deeper one.
Really?
So I'm
yeah.
going to see what's going on social media, and I want to see how they represent
sure.
themselves there, because that's a surefire way to find out what a person really is like.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask around if it's someone that is in the community. Get referrals. I think getting a nanny through a referral through your community is the best way. It's
yeah.
like blind dating. If
yeah.
you're, you know, you someone sets you up, you feel
totally.
Like it's a built-in verification process. I'm not saying it's a surefire way that something won't go wrong, but at least you feel that there are ways to check that out in a more experienced way than perhaps just, you know, going cold to an agency.
Right. And today you can. You have the technology.
There's,
you
like
have
apps
the means
and stuff.
To do,
I mean,
it.
There's so many ways now. And it's actually, as an actor, you know, you do these odd jobs. It's a well-paying position, to be honest.
It is well-paying, but I'm going to make a note.
It should get more paid.
It's not for everybody,
that's
though.
True. Right. That's
I've
true.
Heard people say, I'm going to be a nanny till something better comes along. And I give those the eyes get real
big. Old eyes.
Because I'm super mad when I hear that. Because, you know, these are children, and these are children that are, you know, are influenced very greatly. And you need to take responsibility for what is truly a profession. People take very seriously being in these children's lives. The parents are putting all their trust in you to protect their child. So if you think you're just going to do it till something better comes along, shame on you, mm-hmm. because that is not what this is about.
Yeah. So it's something that you have to be dedicated to. You have to love it. You have to love children, obviously. And you have to be good with people and have a good background, obviously. Watch out your social media, mm-hmm. right, because Florence is going to be looking.
I'm watching.
She's watching everything.
I'm watching you.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're almost done. We're totally out of time, and you're so much fun. I wish we had another hour for this. Florence Ann Romano, the Windy City Nanny. So tell us... In the next couple of minutes, quickly, is there anything you're promoting? I mean, the book. Tell us again about the book.
Nanny and Me. It's available everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon. It can just a great Christmas present or holiday present, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be, because I bet you know someone who's having a baby shower or something going on where you're going to need to give that book to them. And it was really just a joy for me to do it, because it's wow. based on my experiences, and it's told from the child's perspective, so they can actually relate to the character in the book. And I'm working on a second, and that's going to be associated with the child care crisis today and how I see the world from my standpoint as a millennial, and also the changes I'm seeing in child care as well.
Wow.
So
you have a lot to offer, obviously. Can people find out more information about you? How do they contact you?
WindyCityNanny.com is my website, and I am also on Facebook. You can find me, Florence Ann Romano, the Windy City Nanny. And I love to get emails and Facebook messages, and I respond to everything. And I love to hear what's really going on out there, because you're in the trenches, you're living it and experiencing it. So reach out, and I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, awesome.
Right.
And it says you're a dedicated philanthropist. Let's touch on that real quick. What is that about?
I did mention my brother, whom has autism, and I started a junior board for young professionals. Oh, it was about 7 years ago now, and I ran that for about 5 years, and really wanted to bring awareness to autism because it was special and important in my life. And I've continued on in different philanthropy ventures. I'm looking forward to serving on a board for a children's hospital this winter. And so I do immerse myself in philanthropy that gives back to children. Children, whether it's special needs or otherwise.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
Heart of gold, and, people.
Yeah. Can people get involved in that too?
I mean, I will post anything on Facebook that I'm involved in, and I would love and welcome the support as well.
Sounds good. Florence Ann Romano, we also want to thank Emily again. Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
Of course, and you're welcome back anytime, too. You seem like a fun person yourself. And also to Mom, Florence's mom.
Yes.
Mom's
well
raised.
Thank you for coming. And so you guys are visiting. How long will you stay in LA?
I leave tomorrow, but I come back frequently now, which I am really enjoying. So I hope I get to see your faces again.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Come back anytime, Emily. Make it happen, okay?
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, and we'll continue because there's so much more to talk about, you know. I mean, we haven't even touched on the topic, really.
It went by so fast.
Right?
Having so much fun, and we even talked about my dating life.
There you go. And so maybe next time you will have found someone.
I said the Yenta here.
The Yenta's picking them up.
Yeah, there we go.
Going to make some calls, people.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us today. Thanks to the caller. What was his name?
Mike from New York.
Thank you for calling. Tori, thank you as
Anytime.
Always. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.